Host Joe, and you're listening to the Wet Shaving News Podcast, powered by Sharpologist.com. Welcome back, everyone, to another fun-filled episode of the Wet Shaving News Podcast. And I'm really glad to be here, guys. I missed the last couple weeks, but I'm back, and I'm ecstatic. I'm really happy to be able to talk to you this week. Unfortunately, our host Andrew is under the weather. He's not feeling very well, and he won't make it here this week, but we'll see him next week, and or the next show, I'm sorry, and the week after. And hopefully he'll be feeling a lot better, and we just wish him to get well soon and for a speedy recovery. So, Andrew, get well soon, brother. We miss you. So, without further ado, we'll go on what we have for today on the show. So today on the show, we have a popular vendor that is now carrying one of the hardest razors you can get your hands on. We have some cool new items from our friends over at Fenderin. A really interesting article on the self-destructing razor. Ooh. An awesome Valentine's Day article on the Sharpologist. An update on my 7-day razor challenge. And a Q&A session with a longtime strop maker. So guys, just moving right along. In industry news, we have a really, really interesting item that we need to let you guys know about. Most of you have heard of it, and if you haven't, I'll explain the razor. So Maggard's recently began carrying the famous Mongoose single edge safety razor on their website. For those of you who don't know the Mongoose razor, it's a single edge safety razor that needs no introduction in the wet shaving world. It's one of the highest quality razors out there, and it's very, very, very hard to get a hold of. Guys, for you guys who are lucky enough to own one of these razors, you know what I'm talking about. This razor is premium. This is good stuff. This is one of the best single edge safety razors you could probably buy. And let me tell you, just holding one of these items, the heft, the quality, it's all there. It gives an excellent shave, and it's just awesome. You can't beat it. So, more facts about the Mongoose is that it is made in the USA and hand polished to ensure the utmost quality control. These items are perfect when you get them. I left a link in their Facebook trade page in the notes so you guys can take a look at their Facebook page, but also go to Maggard's website. As of right now, I think he had 13 or 14 of them in stock, so you can really actually get one right now. Very reasonably priced from what they usually are priced. Very competitive, and it's just really worth a look. So check out those two sites and see if it's for you, and pick one up as soon as you can. I'm sure they're not going to be around for very long. So our friends over at Fenderin has a few new arrivals on their already very abundant lineup. So we have some new. So their house brand soaps that have emerged a few years ago are now available in wooden bowls. And let me tell you, they look really nice. I don't know how long they've been available in the wooden bowls, but I just noticed them for the first time. And I know that I've tried his soaps before. They're awesome. And to put it in a wooden bowl, they're just perfect. It's just a perfect presentation. So check that out. There's also several new razors and some interesting non-shaving related goodies also on the new item page. In addition, they have some new products by Rebels Refinery that include a face moisturizer, wash, and scrub. So that's really cool stuff. I'm waiting on the reviews on some of these new products, so maybe we could see how really good they are. But I'm sure they're going to be all very positive. Great stuff. Very interesting. Check out the website. So we're going to go over a couple of articles that we have. And one of them is was on the Razor Emporium website. And it was under their blog area, and it's recently was published on an article from the Blade and Shave magazine featuring some models of vintage razors that are known to crack and fall apart with age and use. His theory is backed up with several examples on how these razors fell apart, and I've personally experienced some of this writer's pain, especially with some of the vintage Gillettes. There are a couple other razors that I have not had the chance to own or use, but they look like they look pretty beat up. But I do know that some of those vintage Gillettes do crack in the middle and fall apart Some of them do, but not all of them. But there, I understand where he's coming from, and there, I know he shows in a picture on the article that there's an extreme example of one breaking into pieces, but I know that most of them do have cracks and or develop hairline cracks. And you know what? I think it's time that you guys tell us your story on self-destructing safety razors. You can contact us via email or Twitter, but let us know if you have one of those issues with one of the razors, like a crack, or if one of them just fallen apart or anything like that. We're really interested in hearing some more about this. This is a subject that I haven't really gave too much thought other than just experiencing it myself, but I think it's time that we really ask our viewers what they feel and if they've experienced it. So let us know, email or Twitter. And just look in the show notes and you'll see our contact information for both those publications. So another article on the Sharpologist recently was released, and it's based on the Valentine's Day shave. And with Valentine's Day right around the corner, I felt it would be very appropriate to discuss this article. Now, in this article, you have two ladies and their thoughts about their men basically shaving their legs. And the article shows two points of view from some of our lady wet shavers, meaning and how they feel toward the traditional shave and from their partners. One feels it's very erotic, sensual, very close experience, and the other really wouldn't give him a chance. Said, no way, no how. Both articles, I checked them out on Sharpologist and on their original publications, are very, very well written. I have to say, it really made me think. I don't know if I would do this area. I don't know if my wife would let me get involved. But I can understand why it would be a sensual and erotic experience for some people. And I do understand why they wouldn't want to do it at all. So, I mean, both point of views with equal points. I think it's definitely worth a read, so check it out. We'll have the link in the show notes, and just give it a quick read. I think you'll be very interested in it. So, moving right along, I'm going to go over my 7-day razor challenge. Now, last month I decided to use, and I think I mentioned it briefly on one of the podcasts, that I was going to use 7 different razors for 7 days, and I recorded my results, and the results are in. So this week I'm going to go into day 1 of my study. So for the first day, I chose a vintage Schick injector. Now, I chose this item because I recently received it from my Secret Santa over at the Shaved End Forum after expressing my interest in trying one. I've had many razors in the past, but I've never tried nor owned a Schick injector. So as a reminder, guys, for this challenge, I use the same brush, the same soap, and a brand new blade in each razor to ensure equality. I wanted to make sure it was as equal as possible, so I felt that using the same prep every day would give me as close to even results as possible. I mean, it would be fair as possible. So with the Schick injector, I really did enjoy the shave. The razor glided over my face with really the utmost ease and really, really was close. But I have to admit I was very skeptical at first, as injectors really reminded me of cartridge razors, and that might have been the reason why I stayed away from them. The razor's size, it's smaller than most DE razors and most single-edge razors, so it really got into those hard-to-reach areas very easily. The spot underneath my nose was no problem at all. Right around my ears was no problem. It was really, really nice. I haven't experienced that yet without having to do some serious stretching and stuff to get underneath those spots, but the injector was perfect. It's so small, it got in no problem. So all in all, I really did enjoy the shave. The razor really glided over my face with the utmost ease, and it was very close, but it did clog very easy. I found that the regular pass for a DE or an SE provides longer strokes before rinsing, as the injector required very short passes between rinses. But all in all, I gave the injector a 7 out of 10. I think it's a fair razor, nice shave, and enjoyable experience. So the next razor in the study will be a Classic Gillette Adjustable, which I'm sure many of you have experienced as one of your first razors and maybe as your go-to razor. It's really awesome, and I can't wait to tell you guys about it in the next episode. So we were hoping to have an interview for you this week, but unfortunately I was unable to get one, and I'll tell you why. I haven't said anything, I mentioned this on the cast, but for the last 2 months, I've been going back and forth with the Fromm International, aka Illinois Strop Company. I've been trying to get an interview with somebody that's worked at the company for a long time, or somebody that knew a lot about Illinois Strops. I noticed that a simple, you know, Google search on the web, I could not find much on the Illinois Strop Company. I couldn't find anybody that worked there, any pictures, or anything like that. So it was really, really frustrating when I purchased an Illinois Strop, which I really do like. I think it's a great quality item, but I just didn't know anything about it. I wanted to know more about this company. So I've been going back and forth with Illinois Strop trying to get an actual interview, but unfortunately I was unable to do so. But I did have 7 questions that I sent to them answered. So I'm going to go over these questions with you and for our interview portion of our podcast, and hopefully it answers some of your questions as well. So the first question I asked was, where are the Illinois Strops currently made? And they answered me in that they've been created and built in the United States since 1907 and are continue to be produced locally to this day. And it's also how it's a very important part of the Fromm brand, past, present, and future. So it's still made here in the United States. Not exactly sure if it's still made in Illinois, but it's made in one of the Fromm factories, which I'd have to research some more. I'm not too sure where exactly, but I'm sure there's areas all over the country. So the second question I asked was, has there been an increase in production or interest in the past few years? And the response I received was, the Illinois Strops are a classic and useful tool essential to hair professionals. Therefore, a steady demand necessitates ongoing and constant production. So they also go on to tell me, and I didn't add this into the notes, that the Illinois Strops have been continually produced since 1907 and are sold all over the world. As for demand, they said that recently the demand in wet shaving has increased the demand for Illinois Strops, and they've been selling it to more places around, different continents, different countries. It's still the United States is still their number one producer and number one consumer. And it's still very popular to this day as popularity increases in wet shaving. So they have increased their production and they are selling more strops than they have been. The next question I asked were, are there any pictures, videos available involving the making or production of these strops? And she sent me a picture of an image from the image of James Simon of the Illinois Strop Company in 1907, basically making a strop. So I'm going to I'll add that picture to the show notes so you guys can see it. Really interesting picture, but I think it's on the website. But other than that, she also goes on to say that there are no videos or anything that they have saved in their archives. So the fourth question I asked was, what types of leather are used in making the strops? And the answer I received was, in order to ensure the highest quality product, we source the best materials possible. For our Illinois strops, we use full grain cowhide, which keep the razor edges straight and sharp. So she also goes on to tell me that they haven't changed the leather in the past few decades, if not ever. She's like, from all their recorded records that they have, it's the same leather. It's the full grain cowhide that's American leather. So, I mean, that part of it hasn't changed at all, really. So the next question I asked were, any new items coming out in the near future? And she went to tell me that they're dedicated to finding better ways to create beauty. They're always innovating to ensure the products are the highest quality and serve a unique purpose. But at this time, Illinois Strops will remain the same. So they have no plans on making any different strops or any new items regarding their Illinois Strop line. But the response I also received was, that's not to say that they aren't going to try eventually in the future if the demand shows that they need it. I then asked, how is the linen component produced? And I'm going to tell you right now that this was the probably the best answer I received of all the questions. It answered a lot of my questions, a lot of my thoughts and concerns right here. Like the product as a whole, our linen is handmade to ensure quality and durability. The linen component is produced with makers who weave fire hose. So, guys, I don't know if you remember on the Sharpologist this past week, my article on strops, I did mention fire hose in there. Some people would use it as a secondary component. And now, after reading this article, it proves my theory was correct, that fire hose does make an actual good secondary component for your strops. So really cool. I was very surprised to see that, but I'm also not surprised because I know that the fire hose is very similar from feeling and trying it myself as a strop. And the final question I did ask was, does the company still use similar procedures as they did in years past? And she responded to me, handmade since 1907, our Illinois strops are still composed in a similar fashion to years past. Fromm is dedicated to creating products, and we often look to our heritage for inspiration to do so. So yes, they still produce it in a similar fashion, and she goes to tell me some more about it, that they're still using the same tools and the same procedures that they've been doing since 1907. So really not much has changed. So there's a good chance that if you buy a brand new Illinois strop today, it's going to be much like the original ones produced in 1907. So really cool. I was really happy to get these responses, especially the timing was perfect for the podcast. So I mean, really interesting. If you want to know any more about this, please feel free to email me or Twitter, and I'll get you some more answers if I can. I do have them on my contact list, so they also offered to be of any assistance. But really, the company is an older company, and there's not much in the archives for them. That's what the director of marketing was able to tell me. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show this week, and I look forward to seeing a bunch of Shave of the Day photos and posts in Facebook and on the forums. And again, our show is presented by Sharpologist.com, where you'll find great wet shaving articles, tips and tricks, men's grooming and fashion articles, and wonderful articles for the gentleman in you. As always, guys, thank you for listening to us, and happy shaving.